Hello. My name is Cindy. Today is the 1st of October 2022. I haven't done a video since the 1st of July of this year. I wrote a rather ambivalent post yesterday. Well, my eyesight's deteriorating, and the algorithms are totally, they're thwarting us. They're, feel like we're drowning in these algorithms. So many of us have lost contact with each other, 'cause we feel overwhelmed. Anyway, so my feelings really are ambivalent, but the response I got from people, now I'm going to try not to cry. I had no idea. I had reached and touched that many people, because bots don't sit there and explain what you've done for them, or they don't say that. So I had no idea I had reached that many people. And, you know, one of my mottos is, it's if you have an audience, you know, you have to use that audience. You know, if you've got an audience, talk when you can, while you can, 'cause one day you won't. So I have to take my own advice now. And I've seen that, okay, Facebook pushed that post into everybody's feed, because why did Facebook do that? Okay, so something that I've noticed with the algorithms is, if somebody's emotional about something, if somebody dies, if their pet dies, something tragic has happened to them, and they write a post about it, it'll come up on your feed. That's like a guarantee. And that's because, just like education, just like the workforce now, corporate workforce, just like the media and television and everything you can think of, everything is about playing our emotions, because what the robots don't have, what the AI doesn't have, is emotion. And robots need to learn emotion. That is why those posts go viral. So it's not that everybody was ignoring my other posts. It's that this post got into everybody's feed because it was emotional. And a perfect opportunity for the algorithms to learn emotion. You know, how should a robot respond? What are the words that it should use? Because we are moving into E, as in electronic, everything, you know. It's not just email. We started off with email, but now we're at a point where it's e-learning, all services are all e-services, electronic banking. But the scary thing is that we're moving into e-governance and e-justice. Algorithms will literally run our lives. It's going to be e-life, electronic life is what the metaverse is. So that's why that post went viral. But I don't discount all the beautiful words. You know, if love could heal, you know, I could probably toss away the glasses that I got. Because that's how it was. I'm trying to get through all the comments to respond to everybody personally, because everybody sent me a personal message publicly. And until I get through them all, though, I do want to thank you in person for all your kindness and your generosity. And it's always extra humbling when it comes from women, and the overall majority, it was women. And I'm not really used to that. You know, that's not how women really are between each other. I've, in my life, it was a lot of envy, jealousy, competition. You know, everybody thinks that if you step on someone else, you can get up higher. You know, the best way to climb up the ladder is to step on someone. So it hasn't been my experience to have so much love from women. And women whom I think very highly of. And so, like I said, like I read my post and it's like, shit, Cindy, what are you saying? Do you even know what you're saying? Like, are you saying goodbye? Are you saying I'm taking a break? Are you saying, like, I don't even know what I'm saying. I just, I do feel like I need a break. I do feel like I need to heal. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I had three thoughts yesterday and I thought, I've got to make a post about this. And then I thought, oh, wow, but, you know, you said, Cindy, and it's like, they're going to think you're an idiot if you start making posts now. Anyway, whilst I go, you know, allow me to be a woman, allow me to have my mood swings, you know, yes, I do think I need to pull back and I will be pulling back, but I need to stay in the loop. I need to know what's going on for me personally. So I will be looking at Facebook and I will be sharing. I will continue sharing all the masterful work, all the excellent posts that my friends are making. And to those people who think that they've got a brand going on Facebook, you know, that everything they post on their wall has to be their own, it's like, snap out of it. You know, if you see an amazing post, share it. And an amazing post shouldn't be judged upon how many likes that fucking post has. Because so many people in our movement are still behaving like followers. It's like, oh, it doesn't have enough likes on it. It mustn't be very good. The others mustn't have thought this was good. It's not like that. I didn't start off like that. I started off with pissy, you know, numbers, but I kept writing. And at some point, somebody, you know, who had a platform shared my work and shared it enough times. You know, I can even say it was probably Bantam Joe that first, you know, Bantam Joe who tried to, you know, take me down and Aman Jabi and all that hollering and carrying on, whatever that was, okay? He really helped me. You know, he got, because he gave me credibility, everybody went, oh yeah, so she must be good. Or her writing must be good. Or that point she made must be really good because Julianne Romanello, you know, approves of it or agreed with it. It's not like that. What you think is important, if you see something important, whether it's from a nobody, share it. You never know. You never know. I didn't know until yesterday that I had people feel this way about me that I haven't even encountered their names. Maybe they like my post, but I don't see the likes. I do see comments. And if I don't see a name often enough, or if somebody goes around changing their profile and their profile picture, well, I lose them. You know, I don't know who they are. So the point is, I got a real wake-up call. So maybe there are people reading and not pressing like and not reacting and not saying anything. So what's the point? If you've got the energy, if your eyes are good, if you've got something to say, say it. Say it. If you're thinking about making videos, try it. You've got nothing to lose. You've got nothing to lose. And it takes a while to build an audience. It really does. And that's why you've got to keep going even when you don't feel like you've got to keep going. So in that vein, like I tend not to share stuff from really big platforms, you know. First of all, because I'm really suspicious of big platforms considering how much censorship I've seen. It's like, why would they shut me up? and not shut them up, you know, like it doesn't make sense. But besides that, like that person already has a platform, already has hundreds of thousands, millions of views. So I support the people that are on my platform, which happens to be Facebook. And the people who are really doing good work. Now, you all know that how I feel about Julianne Romanello. And what advice do I have to say to Julianne's audience? Sometimes Julianne is, you know, really, really smart, and, you know, her intellect is at a level that she can, you know, she can only express herself possibly at that level. And don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, if you don't understand something she said, you know, don't think you're going to look like a fool if you say, Julianne, what do you mean by that? You know, can you simplify it? Because whether Julianne sees it, or I see it, or somebody sees it, you know, it gets a conversation started. And that is what I really miss from, like, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, when, you know, when we had something really good going, we had these awesome conversations in the threads. Some people post exceptional links. Other people would have like a one-liner that was awesome. You know, we would all finally get to a point where we all understood what was being said to us. So don't be afraid to ask questions. If you've got a question, you can guarantee that there are another 100 people going, oh yeah, I wish I had asked. Oh, you know, I wish I had the courage to ask that question. And another thing regarding questions is some of my best work, call it, you know, some of my best bits of writing or some of my best bits of inspiration have been from those people who have gone, oh, I'm new, I've got no idea what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Like, and it wasn't really something, you know, it wasn't a difficult concept that they were asking about. That's, they were basically asking about the whole concept and I had to distill it into a paragraph. And they'd be like, oh, wow. And then I would turn that into a post because I figured if it really helped one person, maybe it would help a whole lot of others. So please don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask for clarification. If you've got an inkling of what it might be, you can even state that. You can say, is that what you mean? Is that what I saw at the you know, the meeting at school? Or is that what our council is doing? Would you say this falls under that banner? You know, these are the concrete examples are the best examples, are the best things to learn from, because we're all on the same program, right? Doesn't matter where you are on this planet. We're all on the same trajectory. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about the injuries, and apparently people are finding out about that. And so a lot of people are getting very comfortable with this idea that people are going to go from, oh, the thing was injurious, therefore those conspiracy theorists who are telling us that we're walking into a digital prison must be right. No, people are not going to make that leap. People are not going to go from, oh, the thing injured us and we know about it, therefore we now understand that these people are telling the truth and we must listen. That's not going to happen. When people find out that they've been injured, or it's a possibility that their new spontaneous heart problem probably came about from the thing, the first thing for them to do is not to renounce corporations or Bill Gates or World Economic Forum or go and knock on the door of their local council and ask about the LED lights. That is not what's going to happen. So I do appreciate all the people who continue to post against all odds information about the thing. But we do need to continue speaking about the other things. And those other things are, what are those other things? It's the infrastructure. that infrastructure, people, if you don't see that being dismantled, I don't understand how you can have a hope, or how you can keep this flame of hope going. That stuff has to come down. That's it. That's the medium. Those are the prison bars. They don't look like prison bars. They operate, however, like prison bars. So, you know, this climate horse shit, the surveillance. And then there's the corporate world, and education. And in the corporate world, everyone is being put on this, a very similar plan to the social emotional learning going on at school. Everything is about training people, conditioning people on, you know, when they say jump, you say how high. That's what social emotional learning is. That is what environmental social governance means. It means, are you ignoring all of reality and going along to get along? And it coming through the corporate world, but it's trickling down right into retail, into hospitality, into trades, into everything you can imagine. This is how they've done it. You know, they took over our governments. They use them like marionettes, like talking puppets, literally like talking puppets, so that they would get on TV and say all the right things and go along with this. But it was the private sector that said, oh, you can't enter here without your tick. Oh, you haven't got a mask on. You can't come here. Keep your distance. Do this. Do that. It's at work where you have to bite your tongue because somebody walks in with seven different colors of hair and who you can't tell if it was a man who became a woman or a woman who's becoming a man. Not that that can actually happen, but you know, that's where it's happening. This is the template now. And this is why everyone's incompetent, because they've been selected to work based on compliance and cooperation with brainwashing, quite simply. So, you know, it marches ahead, you know, where things kind of feel a bit quiet, but they're not. Anyway, so I didn't have anything really pre-planned to say, anything really particularly important. I must, however, let me mention the councils. Okay, so I experienced it in Greece and here in Australia, where councils were merged into big municipalities. So think of a clothing textile conglomerate that has seven different brands, but the owners are all the same and the factories are all the same, but they've got seven different brands and they've got all seven shops on one shopping strip, and you go from one shop to the other and you think you are buying something different. You think that you are going from competitor to competitor. Well, you know, that would be like the Zara group and what were the names of all of them? I can't remember them anymore. That's how long it's been since I saw some real shops. But like H&M and ProMod and what were the other ones? Bershka. They're all owned by the same people. It's not competition. Now, this is exactly the same thing that happened with councils. We had all these separate councils, you know, looking after each area. And that's what makes sense. That's what decentralized government means. Because if you've got something decentralized, if I've got one council for this one little area, you know, it's the people in the area. It truly is a community thing. And only the people that live here know what the problems are here, what needs to be done here. Somebody who lives in Melbourne doesn't know what needs to be done in this local area. But this is what's happened. So we've had a merger of all these councils so that there's a central control from somewhere. This is also called regionalism. So this hostile takeover started a very long time ago. And that's why all the councils now, all these shires, all the municipalities around the globe are implementing Agenda 21. Now, Agenda 21 is for the 21st century. Agenda 2030 is the milestone to 2030, right? Like by 2030, we must have achieved this. But they've got a plan for the entire century. If you want to see the plan for the entire century, there is a, search for Futurescape by Chatham House. And they've got like this interactive animation of Piccadilly Square in London, and it shows you each like 20 years how it will be different. And the plans really are really hostile to humanity. It's all about AI. It's all about robots and computers running us. You know, the first industrial revolution was about making human life easier by having machines that we could operate. And then we got better machines. And then we got computers that we could operate that would make life easier. So right at the beginning of computers, you know, there were the people that knew how to use the computer to their advantage, to their benefit, to make, you know, crunching large numbers easier. And then when the computer went wrong, say, for example, at a checkout, you know, the system isn't working, they pull out a pad and write you a receipt by hand. They could still do it. They could still calculate what change they needed to give you. They still knew how to write a receipt. People would work around the computer. You know, they'd press the button and go, oh, the computer doesn't know how to do it. Doesn't matter. I'm overriding the computer. Then there came a point where people can't override the computer. It's like, oh, the system doesn't let me do it. Like, the system, it's the computer. The computer's telling me what I can do as a human. Well, now, the fourth industrial revolution is complete takeover. It's the computers knowing everything. Okay? That's really what it's about. There's a project called the moonshot or something that Alison McDowell talks about. Yeah, Project Moonshot or something like that. And that's essentially not just the fusion that Klaus Schwab talks about of biology and technology. No, that's about basically just our data living inside a fucking server. Like literally, like departing from the meat sack and calling that a life and calling that eternity. Like as if my data from one lifetime, let's say, right, I was born in, 2022 and they collected my data for 50 years, 60 years, whatever, 100. And they put that data into a computer. And so it had that much data about me and had that many examples of my sentences and my writing, my thoughts, my eating habits, my interactions with people, that they could simulate a Cindy based on this 100 years of life. That would be 100 years of living the same shit life by rearranging the pictures. Rearranging the words. It's not perpetual life. It's not eternity that they're promising. They're promising the end is what they're promising. The afterlife, the metaverse. Doesn't matter which language you check it. It's, you know, in Greek, it's after, it's beyond in Greek. In Hebrew or whatever, it's just dead. And it's not about rejecting a chip when they say they're going to put a chip in your hand. It's about rejecting the infrastructure. The infrastructure has to go. You're not going to get away with not having a chip. Like, it's not going to matter. So those councils are what Klaus talks about when they, you know, the WEF, the World Economic Forum, when they talk about think globally and act locally. That's what they've done. They're thinking global, domination happening through our local councils. Now, it would have been 3 weeks ago, I actually found in an act, in a legal act, when the City of Melbourne, the Council of the City of Melbourne, when it became a bona fide corporation and it stated explicitly that it became a corporation, and so I'm pretty sure it's City of Melbourne is the brand name, it's the, you know, the company name, the corporation. And I got really demoralized at how few, you know, reactions that post had. It's like, fuck, you know, I've been talking about Cindy from the corporation and Cindy from the corporation for so long, and I forgot to say it at the beginning of this video. And it's like, well, here it is, and it's really simple to understand. You don't need to understand legalese to see it in black and white. The link is there. You can verify it. You know, we're talking about just corporations, you know, on top of corporations, on top of corporate, like, just, it's just corporations. So, and that is why now, and we've been saying, I've been saying it for a long time now, there is a very, there's a concerted effort in the media, okay? They are going, I mean, first they blamed COVID, then they blamed Ukraine, Russia. Now it's the turn of governments, okay? They are going to do everything they can to make them look really bad, that it was all their fault. It was all Dan's fault. It was all Scott Morrison's fault. It was all, who have we got in America? Biden, the UK, Boris, Macron, this, that. They're like, they made all these really bad decisions. The point is, because we're moving into e-governance, right? They need to take out the last vestiges of representative government. And I mean, I've had to come full circle on this. If you had asked me 2 years ago, Cindy, do you want to take the government down? I would have been like, yeah, let's go burn Parliament. Seriously. I was like, you know, I had those images of V for Vendetta at the end of, you know, fireworks and stuff. But I can categorically say that, okay, I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm paying attention, I'm seeing the rhetoric coming through the television. I'm not actually watching the television, but I get enough crap coming through my feed that I can see who's being blamed. And one thing that was never censored was, you know, stuff like sack Dan, get rid of Dan, stuff like that. Anything that's about bad government, it's like they're serving it up to you and going, look, bad government. That doesn't work. Like, that doesn't gel with how censorship works. If they don't want you to think something, they're not going to tell you to think it, but they're telling you to think it. So I'm not saying that our parliaments and our governors and our presidents and prime ministers, that they all haven't fucked up. They've walked into, they've been gamed. The whole thing is gamed. They've been selected to put, they've been put in there because it's a corrupted system. What's not corrupted are our constitutions. The laws, those original laws, you know, the blueprint of what you can do thereafter, that's not corrupted. But then investigating the education system here in Victoria, I found that what the students are learning now, so the kids that are, you know, between 13 and 16 now, they're learning how to change the constitution. It's like, what? I didn't know there was a constitution until 2020. But the kids today, they're learning how to change the constitution. And do you think that they are teaching children how to be free? Does anyone think that? Does anybody really think that they are giving these children the tools to make good decisions and good governance? Or are they brainwashing them when they're far too young to even understand what constitution means? And showing them how to change it and how to give, you know, special rights to trees and special rights to this minority and that minority, and people who have grey hairs on their head should have, you know, special consideration, and people who have this should have special consideration, and above all, we've got to talk about the spirit of the river. That's what's happening. So it's been a slow demolition process. You know, no matter how we feel about the last 2 years, it's actually been a very, very slow program. And there's no doubt about the fact that it started with World War II and probably World War I, and it probably goes back even further than that. But let's talk about, you know, what we can reference, at least with people who are alive today, who have lived the last 50 years, who have seen the changes, who have gone from being, you know, from having a prosperous life, from having, you know, a nuclear family with, you know, my dad worked when I was growing up with my sister. You know, one income, one blue collar job got us a house. Kept us all warm, kept us all fed. We didn't go on holidays every year, but we weren't lacking for anything. We probably could have gone on more holidays. My dad was a bit stingy. So, you know, and now two people working two jobs can barely afford the rent. It's tragic what's happened. But know that it was done on purpose. Know that it was all deliberate. It was deliberate. They were getting rid of farmers decades ago in Greece. They were paying farmers to stop farming. They were saying, stop farming. The European Union super state was going, stop farming. I'll pay you to sit on your ass. And Greeks, being good Greeks, just like any other, you know, normal person on the planet would go, yeah, fuck, why would I do all that work for nothing? Why should I work when I'm getting paid to sit? Forward a few decades, and now we understand why. Now we know why. Complete interdependence, you know, between nations. Like, you know, well, we can't eat because they're fighting over in the Ukraine. I'm cold, you know, on the other side of the world because of, you know, some bullshit. So, point being, e-governance and e-justice is the end. It's the end of the legitimate paperwork laws that are based around humanity and those human rights charters that have been signed by, you know, that were created by the United Nations. A deeper look into those is where you'll find communitarianism, and communitarianism is putting the community above the individual. Now, the community isn't actually something, it just means others. So, you know, when it's like, Cindy, you have to take this shot for others. They can't say who the others are. Those others haven't spoken for themselves, saying that, you know, Cindy needs to do that for them. But it's not just, it's a way to, for them to get away with everything, okay? And they're calling it community. And you'll see it in your councils, you know. We're doing it for the community. They're talking about change agents and change makers and the community and the environment, and they're putting the environment above people. They're saying somebody who cuts down a tree to keep themselves warm or to cook food would be a criminal because of what they've done to the environment by removing that tree, and that's for the environment. And secondly, for the generation, the next generation, which will be minus that tree. Like, you are hurting. This is crime that will go on forever because you took that tree away. Mind you, this whole thing, like, it rests upon false premises, false science, as if trees don't keep growing, as if they don't grow again. Now that I've been living in regional Victoria, I can tell you we can barely keep up with trimming stuff back and keeping it down. You know, the trees have grown so tall that, you know, the sun panels, the solar panels don't get any sun. You know, that act as if the water isn't renewable, as if it's not a water cycle that comes up and comes down again. They're saying, like, well, forget the water cycle. Well, the water cycle you'll now focus on is the toilet to tap water. You know, water cycle. So I don't think we should be championing human rights and human rights charters because they're actually anything but human. And with the councils, okay, what's really, really, really sinister? At the beginning of COVID, you know, I ran out to a farm and stayed there for 2 months. Couldn't stand being in Melbourne. And, you know, we were living quite sustainably. I lost my train of thought. Jeez, I totally lost it. Anyway, community. Community. And it was all like this, you know, we're talking about having more people at the farm, and, you know, people, we would have the chickens, or we'd have the animals, and we'd all be able to, you know, live outside of the system. But there was no such thing as outside of the system, because the person who owned the farm had written up a whole legal document for anyone who came to the farm of, you know, these are the rules. It was like, oh, okay, so it's not really all free and stuff, is it? It's not like I'm here to do whatever I want, because alcohol was banned. So if alcohol is banned, a lot of people didn't want to be there. And then there were other rules that other people didn't agree with. And it ended up that nobody wanted to be there because they were going from one place of rules to another place with more rules, different rules this time, but rules nonetheless, a proprietor nonetheless. And so I got a real sort of understanding of, yeah, this community thing, it's not really what I was dreaming up in my head, what I thought community was. And fast forward 2 years, now we've got, you know, groups on Telegram, groups all over the world championing, you know, off-grid communities and, you know, living the life and being relaxed and being with the trees and the birds and whatever. And our councils now, they're all pushing this community, this local food, local produce. It's all very nice sounding until you understand that these local gardens, these community gardens, and something else called, community assisted agriculture or community supported agriculture. And this will be farmers who get paid in advance with a subscription, right? So I go to my local farmer who's integrated this plan, and it's called community supported agriculture. And what I do is I pay him in advance. I think they're doing it by season, like by 12 weeks. And so I agree to for payment in advance and take on the risk, the same risk that he or she does, of eating if there is a good harvest and not eating if there isn't a good harvest. So community supported agriculture is subscription life. Alison McDowell, brought this to my, well, mentioned it 2 years ago, and it's stuck in my head, subscription-based life. Okay, so everything's going to be a subscription. My access to information is by subscription. Now they're talking about subscription-based food. So if I don't pay the farmer in advance, I don't eat. Or if I'm not part of the community garden and don't volunteer my time, then I don't eat. Because don't forget, agricultural farming is, going. Just like international travel is slowly, incrementally being disappeared. So, I mean, we also saw the ads for BMW. So you can purchase a BMW, I think it was a BMW, and you could pay a subscription to have the seat warmers. So the car comes functional with seat warming, but you have to pay a subscription for them to unlock the seat warmers in your car. Now, I've given you these massive, very disparate examples of subscriptions. Subscription food, there are people that order like boxes of food in the cities, so that they get, fresh produce each week, so that they don't have to go to the supermarket because that's such a hassle. There are other people that receive the ingredients to put different meals together. There's a company that does that, subscription food. There's other companies that bring the food and all you have to do is heat it. Other ones, you just order it online and it's ready to eat, like various things. But essentially, food. Farmers markets, where you go and you select who made the best product and you choose what you're going to have that day. And you don't think, in 12 weeks, what I'm going to be eating. I'm going to be eating whatever the local community decided that they're going to plant. Let's say you hate eggplants and you get a whole bunch of eggplants. So we're going really backwards. This isn't, people think, oh, technology. There are so many people that get they get wet at the idea of technology. When in fact, all of their choices are they're disappearing. Our choices are disappearing. Community, councils. So where you see change makers, where you see change agents shape the community. Come and join us. Come and participate so you can be part of the decision making. No, what you get is multiple choice options. Would you like to reduce your water this way? Or would you like it reduced that way? Or should we reduce it this way? That's exactly what it is. It's called the Delphi technique. It's a set menu. It's like it's like walking into McDonald's, okay, and going, should I have the bolognese? Should I have the steak? Should I have, this is what people think when they walk into these councils, that their ideas are going to be put before other people to choose. But you're not. You're walking into McDonald's and the menu is set. You either have the fillet of fish or the Big Mac or the Royale, and it comes with fries. That's not choice. That's not participating. That's not citizens' democracy. You really got to look out for the councils. Okay, the thing that has shocked most people in my comments has been when I have targeted these community groups. Because they're being pushed through Telegram a heap. They're being pushed as if you're going to make democracy, as if you're going to participate in rule making. And that is a big, big fat lie. Haven't you learned anything in the last 2 years? That the last thing they want is your opinion on how to run anything? It's false. It's fake. I've made the posts. Please search the words garden or community or communitarianism or Vandana Shiva. People are really, really upset with me about Vandana Shiva. Really upset with me. I'm sure I lost a few friends there. because she's been a champion, because she's talked about glyphosate, because she's talked about corporations, and there's even a, you know, a somewhere where she even puts down the World Economic Forum, and therefore she is our savior. And don't you dare, Cindy, talk about, you know, otherwise. Well, you can go and watch a documentary she made called Planet Local, The Quiet Revolution, or A Quiet Revolution is what it's called. And I want you to write, I want you to make a little, get a piece of paper and make a table, and at the top, put at the top of the column, global warming, climate change, in another column, carbon, in another column, I want you to write sustainable, in another column, you should write, what else? Yeah, anyway, whatever those key terms are. And each time you hear somebody say sustainable, you need to put, you know, a mark, you know, like they do in prison, you know, 1, 2, 3, and cross it out with 5. So, you know, that's 5 times that you heard it, so that you can see that the whole thing is about the 17 unattainable goals. Okay? It's all United Nations. All of it. She is espousing the climate horseshit and the carbon horseshit and local communities and sharing and this and that, and get rid of the big agriculture, and let's get rid of all the big this and the big that, and let's all sit down with our little plate this big at the end of it. There are better ways of doing things. Yes, there are better ways of doing things. And anybody who talks about, you know, I heard they're getting rid of glitter this Christmas in Australia or in Victoria. They're getting rid of glitter because glitter is bad for the environment. My first reaction is that's how much they hate you. Like, they don't even want you to have glitter. They're getting rid of glitter, but there are liters and liters, and I can go out today and I can buy 100 liters worth of fucking Roundup, and I can pour it fucking everywhere and no one will say a fucking word. So when you see this hypocrisy, whilst that shit is still on the supermarket shelves and they're telling you you can't have glitter and you can't have a plastic straw, but here, take this endocrine disruptor and this carcinogen and fucking drink it. We don't mind. The hypocrisy. You have to keep your eye on the ball. What they're saying is what they're not saying, right? You know, what they're saying covers up what they're not saying. We know the problems. So don't get carried away with somebody going, oh, look, she talked about this and he talked about the vaccines and he talked about that. And she talked about, you know, big agri. And she talked about the chemicals, but she didn't get up there and go, you know what? All you people need to take that shit off the shelves. You know, we have, you know, these activists sitting in, you know, the dairy aisle of supermarkets in England, in London somewhere, because, you know, they were against milk. You know, they were trying to stop customers from buying milk. Has anyone ever staged a protest in front of the glyphosate at the fucking supermarkets? All those people with cancer, all those people with endocrine disruption? So, and she's also a Fabian. So she goes back years. She's part of these ultimate synthesis. She's part of the, so, you know, this Hegelian dialectic. You know, what is it? You know, what were you talking about? Fucking synthesis. What does that mean, Cindy? It's basically the solution to problem reaction solution. Like, that's the simplest way it can be delivered. They're going to give you problem. You're going to react. Now they want you to react against government and against, you know, representative government. They need you to abolish that. The solution is e-governance. The solution is she's part of the solution. And part of the solution is this new ageism. It's the, you know, we want to look after the planet. They know that we know a lot of stuff. So, you know, they're not all too stupid. They're not all stupid. Good controlled opposition is a lot of truth mixed in with other messages. And because you heard a lot of that truth, you're like, you know, you'll compromise. You're a normal human being. You'll go, yeah, yeah, but, you know, like, but at least I don't have to inject myself. You know, at least I don't have to do that. So, yeah, I'm going to take this. I'm going to, you know, they've come one step towards me. I'm going to take one step towards them. People who are speaking the truth do not have airplay. They really, they just don't. They're missing something really, really big. And really, really big at the moment is this community stuff and this local stuff, which seems to be, it seems to be the antithesis of a one world government. Like, what's the best way? You know, what did Goebbels say? He said, make the lie big enough, repeat it often enough. Make it big enough and repeat it often enough. And the bigger the lie, the better it is. That big fucking lie is the local community horseshit. Covering up, trying to hide centralized government in Brussels, in Switzerland, in EU parliaments, in the World Health Organization, in the United Nations, the World Economic Forum. That's what they're trying to hide by going, here, look, it's really small. It's local. It's local. Look, it's local. It's local. It's local. It's your people. It's your neighbors. It's all, it's just, it's the guy next door that made this decision. Fuck no. Well, and there's also a lot of rhetoric that you're going to hear probably in a year or two. It's going to be Confucianism and Buddhism, because in secular countries like Australia, where people aren't predominantly Christian anymore, okay, where people come from all mixed backgrounds and we've all had, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of Darwinian evolution in our education, and we've all kind of come to the point where we're like, yeah, we're spiritual, but yeah, we believe, you know, that we came from the monkeys. It's not, you know, this Chrislam, which is getting quite a bit of exposure, is, you know, probably for the people that are Muslim and Christian. And I think for all the others, what I'm seeing coming through education here, through the schools of philosophy here, and through the culture, as in, you know, the organized culture, this, you know, the fiestas and the galleries and the presentations that are going on in Melbourne, scratch the surface, literally scratch the surface. And what you find underneath there is Eastern philosophy. And I was looking at Buddhism and Confucianism the other day, you know. You know, this is why I said, yeah, I'm going to get off Facebook. I need time out, because I've done all this research for all these different topics, and at the end of it, I get really exhausted and I don't do the post, because I know no one's going to understand it. No one wants to know it. No one's going to share it. No one's going to talk about it. So it's like, oh, give up. Anyway, so I'll tell you just briefly about Confucianism and Buddhism. And basically, you know, I know nothing about these topics, so, you know, take with a grain of salt what I did Google and what I did search and what I did find. And basically, it's bureaucrats that run these things, and it is, they are rules, and they sound like fucking 17 sustainable development goals. It's all about sharing. It's all about sacrificing oneself, you know, living simply and humbly and, you know, like giving up your individuality, giving up your wants and needs, giving up aspiration for big things, because that's Western, you know. Western culture is strive, you know, be the best you can be, you know, be bigger than Ben Hur, make the building, make it a fuck off building, you know, make it an awesome play, hold up in really high esteem the guy that said this. It's all, you know, make your mind bigger, make it better, make it more just, beauty, truth. These are the things that we hold in very high esteem. It's not local, community, sharing, simple life. And that's fine. That is fine if you want to live that way. But we're talking about making it the rule. And when those things become the rule, it means you're not going to be very warm. You might be very cold, so that everybody is a little less cold. Not that it has to be that way, right? You know, because underneath that is the scarcity horseshit. You know, we don't have enough, so you need to share this much. So, I mean, the lies are just, you know, one on top of the other. But point being, you're going to start seeing a lot of this Eastern philosophy. And we've seen it already coming through in the last 20 years, you know. And I'm not bashing yoga. I think yoga feels great when you do it. But a lot of this Eastern philosophy, food, practices, meditation, it didn't come from nowhere. It didn't come from nowhere. We've been played. We get shuffled on a board wherever they want us to go. The thing is now, like, there aren't many loopholes left. There aren't many exit points. They're making these things law. They're not making them options. You know, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, veganism was a fashionable option. And as the time went on, people were being shamed now for having a steak. Like, you think twice. You think twice when somebody asks, you know, about it's becoming as shameful as being a smoker. Social engineering. Big, big deal. Anyway, I will stop rambling on. I've got no idea what I'm going to do with Facebook. I do want to say a big, 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 big thank you. You warmed up my heart. Thank you for, you know, putting in the time to write those things, writing them publicly. And in the meantime, please be going directly to people's. I know, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the scrolling. I do it myself. You know, I scroll so much and then it's like, oh, but I didn't check Julianne's page and I didn't do this and I didn't do that, but I'm so tired now. Make an effort. Make an effort to go to those pages. If you don't fully understand it, ask. You know, say something. If you want to make a video, fucking try it. If you want to write something, try it. You don't have to just share things that had, you know, 100 likes or 1,000 likes or whatever. Or just dumb memes, because only dumb memes get traction. Fuck it. Write, you know, post the thing that you want to say. Post the thing that you want to express, even if it's too hard for others. Please, you know, keep the momentum going from the people who are doing original work. You know, the memes are fun, but it's the other stuff that's important. It really is. And it's very easy to lose motivation. You know, after 2.5 years, it's tiring. You know, you wonder, am I, you know, banging my head against the brick wall? So somebody said before about solutions and solutions and solutions. I mean, you look, you know, I'm not sure how many times we need to say it. You know, if we don't know what the problem is, how the fuck are we going to have a solution? You know, without numbers, there is no solution. We don't have a fucking army. If I had an army, I wouldn't be bothering talking to people, you know, who have got a phone. This is the weapon. This is the weapon against us, and we need to turn it against them. And we are trying, but those algorithms, God, they're getting smart. It's about education. People need to know what's going on. And if there's, you know, one thing I can point it at, you know, it's the infrastructure. If people want to take their wrath out on something, well, that's where it is. You know, and be looking. Okay, if you're wondering, where do I start? What do I start posting? You know, you want to do something more involved. You want to do something more original. We all need to, like, pick our local council. Or if you don't want to show where you live, pick the next council or the next municipality or one that's on the other side of the state. Stick to the state, of, at least at where you live, and start exposing what that council is doing. And be try to show everybody that this has got nothing to do with community. That you don't know anyone from that community that had input into this. Sure, because that's where I've found plans for the LED lights in my area. That's where I find all these things. So start attacking local. And you don't even have to, you know, be on the offensive. You can say it in a clean way. You can say it in a professional way. You can say it, you know, without too many words. Please start doing that, because they gave us Dan, they gave us the big puppets, they gave us the Fauci's and stuff so that we could, these are poster children, they're posters of hate so that we can direct all our problems to these one, to this one figure. We need to start, you know, going, no, no, it's you in my local community. Hey, fuck, you live down the road from me. What the fuck are you doing at the United Nations, little man? You know, like, what the hell? What the hell is this, you know, Covenant of Mayors? There's this something called the Covenant of Mayors. And there's all these little organizations that they're all a part of. Start exposing them by name, the local ones. Show those LED lights going up. Show those cameras going up. Show them that, you know what, you can't, you know, get a bathroom extension. You can't get one tree cut down, but down the road, they've got a whole new residential thing going up. And they're taking down trees so that they can put up a playground. They're taking down trees so they can put up a playground. In my area, by the way, where the whole fucking place is just a playground. And I'll tell you what it's for. It's so that they can put LED lights there, cameras and speakers. It's about having surveillance in the little neighborhoods. We don't need another fucking playground here. Everybody has enough area here to have a playground in their front yard. So be suspicious. Like think suspiciously. And if you think that way, you'll start looking for that information and you'll fucking find it every time. You will find every single little thing they do. There is nothing that's outside of this agenda at the moment. There is nothing being financed and funded that isn't part of this agenda. So don't think, oh, I'm going to be, I'm paranoid or, yeah, no, not that. No, that. Look into it and you will find what I'm saying. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for watching. It's an honor. It's an honor to have so many brilliant people show me their love, express that love, people that I really look up to. I'm only going to mention my tightest, you know, women friends, and that is Julianne Romanello, Tamara Yuli, and Ms. Strong, and Zara Bourgeois. And I hate doing this because I know I've left out, you know, 100 people whom I really respect and I love. But these are, you know, these are my peeps. These are my little cliquey friends. And I've had, you know, I've been looking at them for 2 years and I've scrutinized everything they've said for 2 years. So I'm at peace that I can recommend them to people. And they're all different. And I don't have to worry about their motives. I know their motives. So I won't be gone. I won't be gone. But I'm having a woman's moment now. I just don't know where I'm at. Okay? Thank you. I love you. And have a lovely Saturday and Sunday. Goodbye.